Health and Services Committee of the Osage Nation Congress will come to order. Roll call, please.
Speaker Pratt? Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present. Speaker Pratt has a meeting that she anticipated would run over and is excused and has notified the committee chair. So thank her for that. Prayer? Small prayer, please.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the rains that you send upon the land. And thank you for all your creation and the wonders that you have placed here on earth for us to enjoy, Lord. We just ask that you be with us today as we deliberate on legislation that's on the table before us. Lord, help us to be kind and to rightfully consider it and to let everybody's opinion be put out there so it can be weighed in our mind, Lord. I ask that you be with all of our Osage people. We thank you for your blessings. Be with those that are in mourning and having sickness, Lord. Touch them and give them comfort. We ask that you be with the men and women that serve in our military service, wherever they might be, and any other Osages that are traveling or have issues today that they just need peace and comfort over, Lord. I just thank you again, and all these things I ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is election of a vice chair. Chair opens the floor for nominations of the vice chair.
Nominate Arthur Walker.
Chair would entertain a motion by acclamation that R.J. Walker be named the vice chair of the Health and Social Services Committee.
So moved.
Can I second?
I think you can.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? R.J. Walker is now the vice chair of Health and Social Services. Next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCA 16-118, an act to amend 16 ONC section 3104 and 3106 of the Health Benefit Act, which that may or may not be the right sections now, to change the minimum benefit to pregnant women once during each pregnancy to $1,000 to set the benefit for pregnant women and elders before calculating the maximum benefit to all our participants and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Norris. Congressman Norris, you have the floor.
Thank you. The purpose of this piece of legislation that I drafted and is to help our Osage women who are enrolled in the health benefit plan. Throughout their pregnancy. I know from experience and being a healthcare provider that it costs additional dollars to for these women to adequately take care of themselves during their pregnancy, get prenatal care, any medicines they may need, over-the-counter medicines they may need, treatment they may need. And I look at this almost like, I hate to call it this, but it's almost like being temporarily disabled, because these people require additional health care into our, additional health care in regard to what they are eligible for through the health benefit plan. So I'm looking at this as a way that we can help our Indian women, Osage Indian women who are pregnant, that maybe do not have access even to Indian health care services where they reside, that they might have this additional $500 in the health benefit plan, their health benefit card, to receive additional health care services that they cannot receive through the Indian Health Service. We have a number of women that live out away from even Oklahoma that there are no providers or Indian health care providers close by that these women can go to for their prenatal care. So I'm hoping that the additional $500 for these women who are enrolled in our health benefit plan will help them throughout their pregnancy and have a healthy term delivery and a healthy Osage child. That's the whole purpose of this. And I tried to do this in such a way that it would not be a new appropriation of dollars. It would be done with existing appropriations that we already have available. And also, if it goes into a new year, the appropriations into the next year are already projected for. And I consulted with the budget analyst and to see if there was anything that I was overlooking, because I don't want to add any more dollars. I'm not asking to add any more dollars to the program or to the plan to make the plan effective. All I'm asking for is to initiate this plan with the existing dollars available. I'll try to answer any questions the committee may have.
Congresswoman Whitehall?
I guess the first question I have about the legislation is, did you and Mr. Gill work to make the amendments in the recently passed health benefit plan law, or is this what you pulled that was existing off the table?
I'm sitting in the wrong place.
Okay, yeah, come. Okay, my first question is, I know you filed this draft, this bill in September of 2016.
Yes.
We passed a new health benefit law in December. Mm-hmm. So has this legislation been brought up current with the existing law that we're operating out of right now?
Well, to answer your question from my perspective, I really haven't taken a look and see where that fits in. I've got some help here with it. The legislative council might be able to add that or add to that.
I don't know for sure the answer to that question. I'll have to compare it to. I do believe there were a few changes made in what is in this bill, paragraph C. So we may need to look at what's current law to make them consistent.
So, if you would please
this
help.
This was from September.
Sorry, right. I thought we adopted a whole new law that replaced the health benefit, the Limited Health Benefit Act. Did we not do that? When they came back in, when we changed it?
Right.
Were we just amending parts of that law?
I think so. I don't think it was the entire thing.
Okay.
It was all but maybe one chapter, though.
Let me look to answer your question.
Okay, so that would be one of my first questions, if we're, if this, what we're looking at as an amendment would fit, drop into the existing.
Right.
Align with it and not change what we have. And then I think that I have just one more comment, if you'll allow me. Although I know it's up to this body to make changes of how we want that benefit to work, just from my experience sitting at this table, and when we make amendments, such as when we amended the carryover process into it, and now we've amended a perpetual plan, which may not have as much effect, I think a lot of times we, at the legislative table, we have great ideas to help our people, but maybe we need to take one more step and visit with a third-party administrator to see if the administrative processes are there within their capabilities to support.
Right.
And so I have some questions about how determination of a pregnancy would be authorized, and I like those kinds of things. I'm just kind of a geek when it comes to that. But I know that in the past, when we haven't really engaged the third-party administrator, that causes them sometimes to fail in the delivery of services in a timely way. So that's one of my concerns, Ms. Congressman Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Back when I was drafting this, I did visit with the third-party administrator, and some of the thoughts that you have brought out is the third-party administrator wasn't really concerned about who determines, you know, how the pregnancy is determined or anything like that. Were you on the phone with me at the time?
I believe so.
That was more of a policy, wasn't it, that it would be worked out?
Correct.
So the third-party administrator had no problems with this as it was.
Okay.
But I did, you know, talk with third-party administrator prior to development, so they were involved in this.
Okay.
Congressman Walker?
We had a lengthy discussion about this whenever it was discussed before, and I don't know if it carried over into two meetings or not. Some of the things we started to talk about were first, second, and third trimester, potentials to establish eligibility. Seemed like, you know, what happens in the case of a miscarriage or something like that. And I think, you know, as far as that goes, we determined that would be hard to give and then take away, and that wouldn't necessarily be a good way to go about it, because costs can be incurred, typically are, especially if you don't have access to health care, you know, costs associated with a miscarriage. And I'm just trying to say those things to maybe reinitiate some of the dialogue that ultimately had the sponsor agree to table this for the time being. Do you guys remember that? I don't think you were on it.
I wasn't on it.
I wasn't on the committee either.
But I think that I remember some of those issues being discussed when we were talking about this. Yeah.
I was on. So,
question, Chairwoman.
Yes, go ahead.
So, you mentioned that you have gotten with the budget analyst and made the statement that no additional appropriation be necessary. Could either of you elaborate on why that, or how that was determined?
Mr. Pops.
He wants to be recognized.
Go ahead.
Thank you,
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair.
You are.
The reasoning that I've talked with the author about, when we make the projection for the annual appropriation at the beginning of the fiscal year, there is some level of concern for the number of people that would be enrolling. So I believe, and you're welcome to discuss, but I believe that that initial cost, or this cost, would be encompassing in that initial projection of increased enrollment. You're already counting on that individual being born in the year. You're just applying the benefit potentially 9 months prior to the birth. So if you're already projecting at the time of the fiscal year that a child will be born in June, you're only applying the benefit a month early. It's still the same amount. So the amount that you're projecting takes place in the annual appropriation, not in this piece of legislation.
Makes sense.
I should pay more attention. But it would increase, I mean, when the person's born, they're entitled to $500 too, from the second they're born.
Correct. But you're not increasing the amount of liability because you're already projecting for that individual to add that $500 benefit.
How did we project that?
In the annual appropriation.
Did we do that?
I believe the health committee takes into account some...
I don't ever remember us talking about projecting how many people might be born during the year.
It'd probably be part of new participants.
I think the conversation is more focused around a potential increase in enrollment, not necessarily a birth rate.
Right. But I think, what I guess my point is, I don't know that we have actually, we've seen those numbers, we saw them yesterday, but I don't know that when we figured out how much money, I think it's a good point we need to do it, but I don't think when we figured out how much to appropriate during the year, we talked about there's going to be 13,000. We've just taken, this is how many members there are right now times 500 or $1,000, and that's what we need to do. I don't think we've looked at, we should anticipate that there's going to be 1,000 more members in the next year. Do you guys agree with that? I don't remember us doing that.
I don't recall making the appropriation. I think we do make it based on the historical enrollment, and we don't project out and appropriate more money for a projected membership.
I believe we have had those conversations where we
probably
it is not the determining factor in the amount of that appropriation, but I do believe that that is part of our discussion.
I hope so, but I don't remember it. I mean, it should be, let's say that.
Well, it's starting to level out. I mean, there is still a gradual increase, but not only are people being born, people are also dying as well, so.
Unfortunately, we had that discussion in membership that we are not really, although it turned out in the end when we asked the membership director, it was, or whatever her title is, that it was really, we were missing maybe 9 people.
No, it was over 100
years. Oh, okay. Well, but I mean, we have a problem with the membership because we aren't tracking as well as we could those people that decease and then should be removed from the rolls. But we do know how many people enroll in the membership benefit. So, Mr. Gill?
The section that we're talking about, 3-104, was amended. Many of the same provisions are, the same elements are there, not the exact same provisions. So we would have to change this.
Okay.
I can put it in there, that's not a problem, but we will have to change it.
Let me tell you guys this. I have been talking with the chief, and you heard me yesterday say that I want to make some revisions to this law too, based on discrepancies that we know are in the law as passed now, where it refers to the benefit rather than the plan, you know, some of the discussions we had last time. And the chief said that he was amenable to that I needed to talk to Jason and Corey and the assistant chief. So I thought that I would get something drafted, and it seems to me that I could include this language in that bill, and then that this bill could go away, or I can include the language in your bill, and your bill can stay. If you want me to amend into this bill, I can do that. I'm happy to do that. Besides, your name will be on it then, and it might have a chance of passing.
It's not important whose name is on this legislation. I think what's important is that we're looking at taking care of our Osage people. And that's what I was elected to the office to do, is take care of our Osage people. And for pregnant women, unfortunately, they have a tough time during the pregnancy, and they require additional health care. And that's all I'm trying to do, is offer these women extra dollars throughout their pregnancy to help them, because they're having a tough enough time as it is. Now, I don't care whose name's on the legislation. Now, you're welcome to take this and put it in your bill. It makes no difference to me. I mean, I'm not going to be here after 3 months anyway. So I've already got my name in the Constitution, so I don't need it anymore.
I'm happy to work through that, through your book. Now, can I ask a question? We know from membership, they know how many babies that they say they add on the rolls during the year. Would that be something that we could extrapolate out to see how many people might be pregnant during the year? Yes?
I don't believe so. One of the issues that I encountered with obtaining just that statistic is there's a lag in births versus enrollment. So membership was not able to accurately capture, and it's not their fault, it's just a reporting issue.
Right.
Membership was not able to capture the number of births, only the enrollment with the nation.
So but if they enroll them and they're one, then you could extrapolate back and say, okay, there was approximately this many women pregnant during the year.
And I did a little bit of that work to try to measure that. The numbers were not much different because it's not that they enroll when they're one. A parent will come and enroll when they're three or they're four. So it's more difficult to gauge than that. And I agree that should be tried,
because
but it is more difficult than that simple equation.
Because we heard in the membership meeting on Monday that most of the enrollment is babies, that's what she said. Or a lot of the enrollment is babies.
To be fair, the membership department may have found a new way to track that. It was like a year and a half ago the last time I asked that question. So maybe that prompted some attention to the issue and maybe we have it figured out.
I guess the other way to do it, and I'm sure this is not ideal, but the other way, I guess we could make it effective the next year, starting in the next year. The only thing I'm concerned about is that we do this and then we don't correspondingly react with appropriation.
So set a later
effective date. Or it could be, you know, after the next session, the budgetary session, where we put more money into the bill. I'm just concerned that we do this, and you know how I am, and we don't change the money part, and then we find ourselves short. Yes.
So it sounds like this committee is heading down the road to hearing this again, and I'd just like to make the request that quite possibly we arrange the new third-party administrator, since the one you spoke to is no longer, and just have some feedback about, because I believe that now the way the law is written is they're completely in charge of the administration and setting the procedures of how our people utilize it and plug in, and I'd like to hear from the new third-party administrator, if we may, at the table.
Again, you know, I would like to hear from the new third-party administrator, but going back to the information I had visiting with the previous administrator, there wasn't a problem with this.
Right.
And again, I don't care whose name is on the legislation or where the wording or the benefit gets in the program. I would just like to see it happen.
Right.
And that's my main concern.
Right.
Is taking care of our OSAGE people.
I agree.
And I think that for many of us, it's not, I understand the policy and we understand, and I'm fine with that. The question is just, how does it impact the dollars and cents? Which is why today, I have to say, I was trying to get us before I got mad, to start talking about bringing all the legislation that's going to have dollars in it together and figure out what we're going to do, because this may need some additional money in it, And typically appropriation meets and tries to see where we are with money and isn't, and we're going to end up.
We'll do so.
Okay, because I really want us to not rush one or two pieces of legislation out. Here's your 100, here's your 400. Oh, by the way, there's 300,000 left for everybody else. I really feel like we need to, you know, prorate or knock some things out and prioritize how this is going to work. And
well, again, you know, the bill was read in during appropriation cycle, I think,
right,
in the fall.
And, right. I understand.
So anyway, it got tabled for many different reasons at the time. And we're visiting it again before it dies. And I just want to see it happen.
I'm committed to getting it out one way or the other, but I definitely want us to figure out what the cost could be.
And I don't want to add an additional burden on our budget. You know, I wanted to do this with the existing dollars that we had, or that we have available to us, or will have available to us without incurring additional appropriations to a piece of legislation. But I'm certainly, if it can be incorporated into another piece of legislation.
Or I can incorporate, I'll speak with you after this and we'll see where we can end up.
So one question I have about the actual function is, say if this passes and a pregnant woman does get distributed that $500 for her pregnancy, but it's not utilized, does that still become subject to her carryover now?
Yeah,
within
I have
her
that
as
a question right
so
here.
You can answer that question.
Thank you. That is one of the main concerns that I had with Congressman Norris, and I expressed that to legislative council. I believe that that's going to be more of an executive branch policy and not something that you necessarily put in law. And the reason for that, I understand the reason for that, because the Congress has stated that there is a perpetual enrollment. My concern yesterday was that somehow that individual is going to have to be enrolled or granted some form of status to be able to have that, and then does that perpetually enroll? I don't know the answer to that, and that could be something that could be provided for in law, or that would need to be an executive branch policy, either one.
I'm not in favor of it being a policy. It needs to be set out in law how it's going to work. Yes.
I think I would hesitate to treat them as two people. You know, we're giving it to a pregnant woman for pregnancy issues. I would see it better done as a temporary, you know, treat them as like you do a senior. It's just temporary for 9 months or a year, whatever it is. And it automatically kicks them off. You know, they get that pregnancy designation, they get the one-time higher limit, and then it kicks them off the next time they come around, unless they can prove that they're pregnant again, of course.
Well, and that's the other thing. What do? They send in a doctor's? How do they prove they're pregnant?
Mail-in that pregnancies.
See, that's what I was going to bring up. Once we start going down that road, then there's all kinds of little what-ifs and scenarios. Even what if a miscarriage happens in January or February, and then come January or September, October, December, they get pregnant again? That could be two times during 1 year, because it just says once during each pregnancy.
That's true. It could happen like that. I mean, it's a possibility. The nation would have to accept that if they decided to move forward with this.
And then if not everyone, but there's a lot of different ways that pregnancies are handled. Sometimes during the first trimester, the mother doesn't actually go to the doctor, but if they know that they can get this $500, they may be more likely to. Would they then be able to turn around and get reimbursed for that visit to go determine that they were pregnant or not? I mean, see, that's where I'm starting to think that a lot of these policies probably need to stay out of the law. But we've had this discussion on many other types of bills, and you may feel differently than that.
Well, I mean, I don't mean that I wanted the law to have minutia, but I want it to be clear. I just want it to be clear enough that there's guidance to the executive on what congressional intent is here. I know that there was a lot of discussion, if you remember, about turning 65. We've written into the law how that works. Or we had it in the law. I don't know if it's in the law now. But we did have that when you enrolled in the Medicare supplement, you relinquished whatever benefits remained from your $1,000. And so at the time you enrolled, you were done. I don't know. I mean, would we have a similar process that you enroll as pregnant, you do some certification, and then you immediately get that $500, and that's that. And that rolls over if you don't use it, or it has to go away when you give birth, or how that works. I mean, we
go away as in the benefit that you received
if you didn't use it? Like if you didn't use it, yeah.
Yeah, but then that gets into the deal. What if you get sick with the flu and it creates other problems that are exacerbated by the pregnancy? So how would you determine that it was part of the pregnancy or not, or was associated with the birth of the child? So to me, that would just be something that you get the $500 benefit, then it's left alone if this passes.
Right, I don't think there's any way
it just stays there
to have a designation that it's part of your distribution for that year. It's part of your carryover fund. You just got to simply based on the merit that you were pregnant, and that's it.
Okay. And again, then we need to ask WageWorks how they deal with that. I keep thinking WageWorks is going to start telling us we owe a lot more money for administration than we did, because they gave us a really good rate on administration. I can't remember. I'll have to go back and read what the contract's for, whether it's a one-year contract or not. Do you remember?
I don't.
But that's kind of what happened with HealthSmart, is they said, whoa, you guys are adding a lot more stuff on this. We need to talk to you. Yes.
Well, I think that I tend to agree that the cost is going to increase the benefit. But the cost of the benefit isn't going to increase greatly with this amendment.
I don't think it. I agree with you, but right. I don't know what the cost of administration might do.
And that's why I want to talk to WageWorks also. So if when this comes back to the table, because I think that we're going to continue to discuss it, because it needs a little bit of tweaking to match the current law. I would appreciate it if you would have in line WageWorks to visit with us.
Yes, okay. And we're supposed to, when we have that hearing, we're supposed to hear about administrative costs and the prospect that we are going to have another entity help audit every year to determine how the payout is supposed to be made. Do you remember that discussion yesterday that I had with Jason?
Vaguely.
Cropcroft? What was the name of this?
Something like that.
That they hired that firm or that person.
As a consultant. To direct it, yes.
Yeah. And I heard Jason say that he believes that they are paying that out of the administrative costs this year that we authorized, which I can't remember what the language says about that. And that they were probably going to have a similar undertaking going forward. We'll just hear about that, and I'll write to him and ask him to include any information we can get. Do you want me? I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prior administrator had no additional cost associated with the administration program, as I recall.
I believe that was the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. Anything else? Thank you, Congressman Norris. We'll get this in a position to work on it with an eye towards getting it out. I'll put it back on, let's see. I told Angela tomorrow for hers. Next, which day did I set the hearing? On Wednesday? Does anybody remember?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'll let you know what day it's coming back on.
Which one? Which?
The hearing, the health hearing. I think I said next Wednesday. Dana, what did I say? The health hearing, when did I say we could reset the health hearing? We all slept. That's fine. All right.
We all what?
We all slept.
Oh.
Thank you, Congressman.
You're very welcome. Was it Wednesday or Thursday?
I don't.
I thought it was Thursday.
I kind of thought it was Thursday because I thought you were going to give me your time for Wednesday.
I was. And I might still. Next Tuesday, maybe we can do it.
Did someone make a motion to postpone?
No, we just left it on the table. Okay,
And then just, I don't think it's really part of the conversation, but also we were going to wait and have the discussion with the third-party administrator about some of the stuff, maybe not this, but give them time to get the report ready for the first quarter.
Yeah, and they wanted to do that by April 1st, and what next?
I thought it was April 9th or something like that is what we heard.
Oh.
No, it was.
April 9th appropriations.
Like, it was five or six days into April.
Let's see.
Next Thursday. It was next Thursday.
That's my recollection is it was either next Wednesday or next Thursday. And next Thursday is the 4th? The 5th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I remember.
I haven't had lunch yet, but I'll have it in a little bit.
I haven't had lunch yet either. Okay. We don't have any executive branch folks here today, do we? Okay. Financials. Does anyone have any financials that we want to look at? Do we have the monthly financials for health benefit? I know yesterday we did an overview.
I don't believe you're going to have that. You're going to have a monthly financial report. It's not going to be the detail that you're looking for.
So we can't. We don't know how much money we've spent from January till today.
I believe we can determine that it's not. I don't believe that that's readily available right now.
Do we have anything that we need to discuss from your perspective regarding financials? I know that happened in appropriation a little bit, but is there anything that you know that we need to discuss?
No, at this time.
Burial assistance? Is that just an issue of discussion about increasing the assistance as opposed to having enough money in the fund?
With respect to, I'm not aware of anything that would affect burial assistance at this time.
I'm just asking, is it tracking like it should? There's money in the fund? Because somebody brought up, in fact, it was the chief of burial assistance.
Is that even on the funds we reviewed yesterday?
There was a couple of funds that kind of got, like I was trying to figure out with the gathering fund.
If we were probably going on our agenda.
We are. Financials. So we're discussing this.
Okay. Next one's old business, new business, and adjournment.
Okay.
just was curious.
I don't have any financials that I'm interested in.
Okay. Anybody have any old business? New business, just back to that discussion about tomorrow we're hearing, we're going to hear a piece of legislation that has appropriation money in it. I want us to listen to the merits of it. I personally would like to send it over back to appropriations after that so that they can, to your vision, who is in charge of figuring out how we're going to appropriate this money this session? Yes.
Okay, so when you first brought that up this morning during Committee of the Whole, I thought you were going down a different road than what you ultimately did. I think there is merit to the committee hearing, the jurisdictional committee hearing the legislation that has appropriations, and then putting it on the table of the appropriations committee. But, and well, let me continue with that. Because in the past, it has been a race to the podium. And there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars and oftentimes millions of dollars right out the door in the first week or two of the session because of the rush to the podium. Now, there are situations whenever it's an appropriation for something that has a little bit of an urgent need to it, and it's less than $50,000, say, does that need to be, the time need to be extended for a $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 appropriation? I kind of think not. Not if there's an urgent need, but if it's a $500,000, $1 million, yes, that kind of needs to have another look-see.
I agree with that. And if there's, but if there's $1 million and 10 $100,000 requests.
That's why I said 50,000.
Okay.
Agreed.
The more and more I think our obligation is to appropriate money for the best interest of the Osages. And we have to look at all the requests, not individually. We need to look at them together and say, how do we prioritize the spending of our money? So as long as somebody would give me a mechanism for that, maybe appropriations can lead that, but when I first started here 12 years ago, that's how we did it. We sent the jurisdiction, the legislation out to the committees of jurisdiction, and it came back to appropriations, and it was up to appropriations to initially figure out how to divvy up that money, and then individual Congress members could go lobby during amendments to raise that, and you get 12 opinions at that point. But that's with the knowledge that this is how much money there is, and this is how much money is being asked for, and here's what the numbers need to be to keep within budget. And then usually I think we've been pretty good about saying we can't go over budget. Well, of course we have been, because we are responsible in that way. I don't believe we're $58 million in the $28 million in the hole, are we? Yes.
Well, I'm definitely not opposed to having that conversation about reviewing where we are financially after the committees of jurisdiction report out. Of course, I do believe that that would be something that eventually needs to be put in our congressional rules, if that's how
totally
we conduct
agree.
Our business, because it's not there right now. And so as the Appropriation Committee Chair, I would need to have direction from the body that that's what they wanted to do.
And that's actually why I asked for the committee of the whole discussion today, so that we can have the discussion, but then somehow it needs to get translated into action. Otherwise, we'll sit around for 2 weeks discussing and we won't have a plan as to how we're going to go forward. I mean, for one thing, everyone needs to get their appropriation legislation out the door by, what, the end of next week?
12th, I believe. For any chance for a veto override, I think is what the date is.
Okay, well, lead, please. Leaders lead. Anything that comes out of here, I'm going to request that the motion be made to report. I mean, let's think about this. Can we report to appropriations? Does it have to go back to the floor and have to be reassigned?
I don't know.
I'll have to ask.
I was thinking that too. And if that
what
were
do
the
I want?
Case, then
really
the entire body of Congress would have an opportunity to vote to send it to appropriations or not.
Yeah, but we don't want to be inconsistent. I mean, we either need to send them all or...
That would be a slippery slope.
I think the question was from the chair. Maybe she should ask her own question instead of me trying to interpret your question.
She wants to interpret
your own question.
You like that?
Herself.
I know. I'm not going to speak for her.
Sometimes your words are better than mine. Sure.
Well, I'll ask the question. I know what you're asking.
We want to know if we report, if our only option is to report back to the body, or can we report and somehow request referral to that the legislation then goes to appropriations?
The rules don't allow appropriations to refer legislation to other committees.
Yeah, it would have been helpful if all that stuff would have gone to
Then we would have reported back to appropriations.
Right.
Okay, well, maybe we need a rule that all appropriation legislation initially goes, containing appropriations initially goes to appropriations. Appropriations refers out, and then it ends up back in appropriations.
I think that goes too far. I think we could consider a rule change that would accomplish doing what you're requesting, which you mentioned this
cutting
morning.
Cutting out step.
Which makes sense to me. All
you can make a motion on the floor that says that during this session or whatever, and appropriations legislation will, from each committee of transmission, will be referred to
okay.
the appropriations committee prior to being reported to the floor, maybe something like that.
Is that a threshold amount or not?
I like that idea.
It's not over $50,000. I mean, if it's less than $50,000.
I mean, the only thing would be, I guess, if you had $200,000 left in the treasury and here came 10 requests for 20 grand. To me, all of it should go back. Who makes requests under $50,000 these days?
Well, legislation that was just
filed,
$60,000.
We have legislation. We have more. Do you know something about that, Congressman Walker?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Or I would have said under $60,000.
All right. We're to adjournment. Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
We're on adjourn.
Is this your special food?
Well, these are rice cakes. I like them.